several of the police in New York City have already contracted, and they have had some loss of life in New York City. But throughout the country and throughout the world, there is loss of life because of this coronavirus. The bishop has put out guidance with regards to continuing to self-distance. We pray, Lord, that the diminishment of that event will occur at some point, that we will be able to resume life somewhat more normal. But till then, let us be mindful of social distancing, mindful of those who are at home and unable to come out and unable to get the common ordinary foods and supplies. And Lord, let let them be treated and cared for, as the cases may be. We know that there are many who, of our loved ones who are in nursing homes. We pray for them. I continue to urge each of us to contact several people that we know who are more restricted in their mobility and staying at home at their own choice because of the increased risk. Contact them via phone, send a card, send a letter. We continue to pray for the healing grace on those who've had procedures and surgeries. And we just thank you for the first responders. And we come to you, Lord, knowing that each of us is in need of your healing grace, your power, your love, and your mercy. Regardless of coronavirus or any other earthly malady, we know that we need you and your saving grace. We have celebrated birthdays in the last few days in different families. We celebrate life itself. And as we know, there's a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, as we pray that prayer now. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. and Becky for that lovely, lovely music. And as we enjoy that, let us continue to remember members of our armed forces who around the world, and now many of the armed forces and the National Guard are being mobilized throughout the country to assist in efforts to curtail the COVID-19 virus, the coronavirus. We lift them up because they're away from their families and they're put at risk, just as great a risk as if they were going to go in combat someplace, because this silent and unseen virus, it can be as deadly as bullets and artillery. So we lift up the men and women of our armed forces and their families that wait patiently for them to return at home. And as I said again, the first responders, the emergency medical teams, the law enforcement officials, and others. Something a little different this today for the scriptures and for the sermon, because as I was looking at the Common Lectionary, and as I and others of my lectionary group were looking at what we were going to preach on today, I was primarily looking at John 11, 1 through 45, which is where Jesus waits after he has the word from Mary and Martha that Lazarus is ill. He waits and does not go, and then when he finally does go, he finds that Lazarus has expired, has died, and his conversations with both Mary and Martha regarding their faith, and if he had been there, surely he would have been able to save Lazarus. But and the shortest scripture in the Bible is Jesus wept, and we know he goes and he stands outside the tomb where Lazarus has been laid, and he says, "Lazarus, come out." And wonder of wonders, the more than 4 day dead body of Lazarus is reanimated, and he walks out, and many see and believe. And this is just before he goes into Jerusalem for his final encounter with the powers that be, the Pharisees and Sadducees. But the scripture I wanted to work with is the other scripture, which deals with another power of God to heal and restore. And it's actually Old Testament. It's Ezekiel chapter 37. A little history on Ezekiel. Ezekiel was taken as a captive when Babylon captures Jerusalem in 597, and he was resettled in Babylon, and he continues to prophesy, and this is one chapter which most people know because it is referred to as the bones in the dry valley. Hear the word of God, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. He set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you shall cause, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. You shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them. Flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet as a vast multitude. Then he said to me, Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, first let's deal with one word, and that's prophecy. Prophecy is not a prediction or foretelling something that's going to happen. In Scripture, the prophets aren't foretelling the future. They are forthtelling. In other words, the Lord puts words in their mouths, the word of God. We know how powerful it is. We know that the word of God will not return void, that it will accomplish the purposes of God. So these words that God tells Ezekiel to prophesy, in other words, for him to have heard what God told him, and then for him to say again these words. Now, the image we have here is that this is a dream or a case where Ezekiel is transported to a point, to a valley that's filled with these dead, dry bones. Essentially, Israel and Jerusalem have been led off into captivity, and Jerusalem itself has been restored, has been destroyed. So what Jeremiah is hearing from God is how God is going to restore him. Imagine if you were, in the common occurrences that are ongoing, the businesses that are shuttered up, the restaurants that have closed their doors with exception of deliveries, the houses of worship where we no longer gather in person to worship, and all the other aspects of our common ordinary life. The schools themselves have closed. There are still some people meeting in some places, but less than 10. And there are other ramifications to the world that we knew 2 short months ago and the world that we know today. Who would have thought? And we have yet to see what comes to pass. But we can have hope and faith, because as we're children of God, as we're children of faith in Christ Jesus, and know that is really what's happening for us and in our lives, in spite of the challenges that are happening in the world around us, that God still holds us, God still reigns supreme. We see many and many powerful and wonderful things occurring again and again throughout different cities and different locations where people are coming together and working to serve the common good, visiting people, taking food to people, picking up supplies for people. We know there are places where there certainly are people that are hoarding and doing things that are destructive and not productive. But, you know, I want to hear of the good things. I know that I've been able to converse with and talk with more people via phone or via the internet or via Facebook or some other means other than what we would have normally. But I think I'm more conscious of trying to respond to them. But let's look into what Ezekiel is told to prophesy by God. He's led up over this valley, and he sees these bones, and it's full of bones, and he knows that they're dry. And he said to me, this is God speaking to Ezekiel, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Well, that's a question that only God knows. And Ezekiel very rightly says, he answers, "Oh Lord God, you know." And then God does something unusual. He tells him, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" Almost as if the word of God could come into all of the shuttered factories, the closed stores, the empty streets, and breathe back into our municipalities and our cities and our businesses this renewed life that was just there 2 months prior to this. This would be a miracle. But again, you look at what's being said here. God is telling him to speak the word that he gives him. In other words, this is the word of God. And he says, "You shall know that I am the Lord." All of this occurs because Ezekiel speaks the word of God to these bones. Tell these dead bones how it is that they're to react. And Ezekiel acts out of faith, not fear, nor despair. He said, "So I prophesied as I had been commanded." This is in verse 7. "And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them." He's not finished yet, because he hasn't done everything that the Lord has told him yet. Then the Lord says to him, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live." So he does what he commanded him. And breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. As we're obedient to the word of God, as we speak the word of God into life and in the world around us, speak faith and hope, peace and love, grace and mercy, not despair, not death, not darkness, not the negativity that's out there. And I'm not saying be it a Pollyanna, but there are good things to this. I think we can come together better as a congregation, better as a community, as we realize how much we miss being with each other, how much and how more important all of these little meetings, all these simple things like going down to the rescue squad on a Monday night and playing bingo or having a good dinner. Well, you can't do that now. Or to go to some other restaurant and go in and sit down and eat, and you can't do that anymore. You can do a takeout, but then you have to go home. The other piece to that is we're spending more time at home. This is in a time of Lent. This is in a time when we should be meditating and thinking more seriously about how the Lord works in our lives and what it is the Lord wants us to do. And goodness gracious, here we're seeing we can extend a hand of faith, we can extend a hand of hope, we can extend a prayer, we can communicate with people that we might not have otherwise thought of communicating with because we're busy doing our busyness. Whether it's soccer games or watching football or basketball or baseball or any of the hundreds of other things that we could focus our attention on. And now we have an opportunity to focus on people in our lives who we need to celebrate and we need to worship and be with. And even if we can't worship in person, we can worship through a phone call, we can worship through a letter, a card, a note. We know that one of our members isn't able to visit her mother, who's in a nursing home. Well, she goes and stands outside her window, calls her on the phone, and looks at her through the window and talks to her. how desperately they would both like to be in there, but they realize the situation, and yet they're still communicating, even though it's not as close a contact and as intimate as they would desire. So, in verse 9, he prophesies to the breath, the prophecy mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds and breathe upon these slain that they may live. He prophesied as he had commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, this vast multitude. And then he said, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Imagine many of the mainstream media's telling us what a catastrophe, what a chaos this is, what this pandemic could ultimately become. And then there is the voice of reason that tells us that hopefully and prayerfully that it won't be, that people will pay attention, they will practice social discipline, they will be more careful about their own sanitation. They are using sanitizers. They are doing those things that they can do that are reasonable, not overly protective. Then, as it ends, Ezekiel is told by God to then prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. As Ezekiel ends that chapter 37, verse 14, he's completing the prophecy that God has told him to do. And again, this is not a foretelling. This is not a prediction. This is speaking the word of God to the children of God, speaking the word of God to the children of God. So I speak to you that God is not one of fear. God is one of faith. God is one of perseverance, and that we stick together and continue to do the faithful things that we do. We worship. We have Holy Week coming. And as the great challenge is to find a way to continue to worship, knowing that in person worship is still canceled by the governor and by the bishop until sometime after the 23rd, maybe at least 30 days from the 26th of March. So we're looking at 26 April or 25 April, something like that. So we'll continue to pursue different means and different ways to worship together, to celebrate the things of life that make worship powerful and have us as a Christian family. And Warren Wright will be putting out an email as we have the food closet, rather not food closet, but the mobile food pantry, the Crier mobile food pantry, next Saturday here at Clarksbury. It'll be a little different. Things have changed. There will be less people needed, but I'm leaving that to Warren to broadcast that out to the people, and we will still serve our community. It won't look like the other mobile food pantries we've done in the past, and Clarksbury does have LEED, and we'll see that directive as Warren puts it out via email. And if anybody has any questions, obviously contact Warren or myself, and we'll try to answer those questions with regards to that. As we come to a close in the worship service, I offer this as a benediction, that Lord Father God, we take the example of Ezekiel and the example of Jesus outside Lazarus' tomb. The circumstances that seem so dire and so negative, and yet because the Word of God is so powerful, we in faith can look to His will, His Word, working powerful and marvelous things in the world, in spite of what the press might say, in spite of what our eyes tell us is logical and reasonable, that God still is a God of miracles and God is still in control, and we look to Him to bring us salvation. So, you're in the world. Take every precaution. The grapevine will have some more links in it that tell us who to contact and where to contact to get emergency services throughout this COVID-19. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' precious and holy name.